everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. My name is Jay Izzo, and we are live here from Linda Craft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Greater Research Triangle Park. Today's show, we are going to be talking about how remote work affects the real estate market. And my guest is no stranger to the show. His name is Steve Krueger. He is a senior listing and buying expert here with Linda Craft Team Realtors. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jay.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
So this remote, there was an article in the New York Times and Money Magazine.
Right.
That remote work has been affecting real estate markets in a variety of different ways. So let's talk about, you know, based on your research, let's talk about, you know, some of what you're seeing in terms of remote work, how that is affecting the real estate market and why it's going to be important.
Right. Yeah. So it's had a huge impact. And those articles you were alluding to, they talk about how the pandemic has really changed things with our workforce, right? So before the pandemic, there's exceptions to this, certainly.
Sure.
But the majority of people that were working remotely, a lot of them were doing that actually for slightly less pay, to have some flexibility. Maybe they were a caregiver. Mm. Maybe they had some sort of disability, things like that. So you had a lot of people that had that ability to work from home, but they were happy with their lifestyle where they lived. You know, it didn't cause them to migrate because of that. The pandemic changed everything.
Right.
And I saw this going on very early in the process, because I can remember a friend of mine that works for a big tech company down in Atlanta. And you then started hearing news reports stressing these same things, that a lot of these companies realized they were letting their workers work from home because everybody was, you know.
We were in lockdown.
Right.
We had to stay in place, or stay in shelter. Shelter in place, I guess,
exactly,
is what it was called.
So, and so these companies started realizing that they were as productive, if not more productive,
right,
from this change. And so it changed the business model of, we have to go rent all this office space to house all these people and be paying all the utilities. And so because production wasn't harmed by it,
right,
it's completely changed things to where now it's also seen as a perk for these high level jobs, especially like in,
right,
the tech sector.
Yes.
And so these companies that want to hire the best people in order to be competitive with the other companies hiring the same sort of people are making that one of the conditions of the job, that you can work remotely and you can live
anywhere
in the country that you
or
want.
Or sometimes anywhere in the world.
Right. I mean, as long as you have access to, you know, I have friends that work remotely, and it's like, as long as you have access to high-speed internet, doesn't,
right,
matter where you're living.
Right.
For some people, maybe you also have to be close to like a major airport, just
because, right,
you might have to travel some for the job. But yeah, so it's changed dramatically where people are now choosing to live.
So, okay, so here's the thing, right? And one of the questions I think people may ask is like, well, if you're working remotely, right, what are your reasons for leaving where you're at right now?
Yeah. And there's several factors there. And one of the things the articles talked about was, this is still a short-term thing. We'll see how it develops long-term, though the trends are certainly showing some duration to this. But you got a couple factors. I think early in the pandemic, you certainly had a situation where if you lived in a very, very major city like New York, where you were really affected even more, you know, like we saw in the news that there were just more deaths, there were more just problems in a more congested area. Plus people were all of a sudden in lockdown. And I think just having some space,
right,
when you're in lockdown, you know, when we were in it, my family, I have an acre of land. We didn't go quite as stir crazy as if we lived in Manhattan and had,
right,
a small apartment and we're being told to stay home, right?
Right, right, right.
So I think there was a huge psychological shift as far as, where do I want to live if I'm forced into this situation, mm-hmm, again? But then there was also just, my employer is now telling me I don't have to live in this place. I can,
right,
live wherever I want to. Where can I, and the income doesn't change, right? So you're, or guessing it doesn't.
Right, right, right.
So now you're looking at, well, my money's going to go a lot further. So here in Raleigh, we're one of the places in that report that has one of the highest inbound migrations.
Right.
And
we already did have a high inbound.
We did.
And still did. And now it's increased.
Escalated.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But
and people love to work remotely from here. Right. I mean, let's just talk about why. I mean, first of all, it's convenient to the airport from almost anywhere because we have two belt lines.
Right.
Right. So we're convenient to there. Our taxes are reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have everything that a major city wants.
Right.
You've got three universities within 30 minutes of each other.
Yep.
So you can, the school system's pretty good.
Yeah. So those are all the factors when they talk about what are the areas right. getting the most inbound migration. You just name them essentially, right? Taxes is a very big one. Because if you're earning, $200,000 a year,
right.
then what you're paying in taxes, if it's cheaper. I used to live in Tennessee that has no state income.
And Nashville is one of those.
Nashville is one of those big inbound cities.
Inbound cities, yeah.
Because, in fact, Bryce Harper, I just read, is planning to move his family to Nashville, and I think taxes has something to do with that.
That's just my guess.
Well,
he plays for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Right.
Right, in case people don't know who Bryce Harper is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, baseball player. All right, so for everybody out there, he's a baseball player.
And on the best team, but the Phillies.
He's a great player. He's a great player. And we're seeing a lot of these guys in pro sports.
Right.
While they may have an apartment where they play.
Right.
They live in another city because they make, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars or in a contract.
And so these remote workers, they're looking at tax savings. We have much lower property taxes here than you have. And
right.
even before the pandemic, we had people moving here constantly from California, New York, New Jersey, wherever it may be. But like Boston, these big areas where they had much higher property taxes.
Right.
So they would come here and it's like, wow, I'm saving $6,000 a year just in property taxes,
right.
or $10,000 a year.
Which people were doing anyway from the north.
Right.
That we were seeing an influx into the Research Triangle Park here in North Carolina, especially from cities like New York or states like New York and New Jersey,
right.
specifically New York City. Yep. And then we were seeing some halfbacks
mm-hmm.
from Florida, people who were from New York, New Jersey, moved to Florida, but they wanted to be closer to family, so they'd come halfway back in north, and we happened to be a nice little
exactly.
space for that. Yeah.
Yep. And so, two, you're looking at these areas and you're looking at cost of living, right? So, the two cities with the highest outbound migration, so the highest number of people, net number, that have left since the pandemic right. started is New York
yep.
with like 116,000
yes.
and LA with like 53,000.
Right.
So,
and by the way, let's just throw some of the more of them out there, because number three, I think, is San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think we're around 32K.
Right.
And then it's like Chicago.
I believe Chicago was
And then San Jose one. Was one.
Yep.
One of the top five, right, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, big
right.
metropolis cities.
And they all have one other really big factor that people are leaving to come to, which relates to our topic here, is the cost of housing. You hear people
right.
talk all the time about how expensive it is
right.
just for a house in
right.
San Francisco in particular. Seems to be, I believe it is the most expensive
I don't think it's unheard of for pay $1 million for a one-bedroom house.
Right. So people that live there are like, they can come to Raleigh, and if you're thinking about coming to Raleigh, I can get you a very, very nice house for $1 million. It's going to be a lot bigger than one bedroom.
Yeah.
It might have six bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to have possibly a basement with a home theater built
right.
in. And
yeah, because you could get a lot for $1 million.
You have an acre of land. If you want to live on the outskirts of Raleigh, you can probably have 3 acres.
We can
land.
Even get you on a golf course.
We can get you on a golf course. we can get you in a neighborhood that has like horses and trails. You
yeah.
can ride your horses around.
Yeah.
But those are, whether it's Raleigh or some of these other popular inbound migration cities, it's The cost of housing is cheaper.
Right.
Cost of living is cheaper. I mean, if you've ever gone on vacation to New York or to L.A., you know. I mean, you just go out and have a drink, it's more expensive, right?
A bottle of water.
Right. So everything
you
do costs more money.
Right.
So it makes sense that workers all of a sudden were told, you don't have to come to this office in Manhattan.
Right.
You can just log on to your computer, and we don't care where you live. Now, all of a sudden, they're going, okay, how can I first maximize my money? But also maybe they want to change anywhere to lifestyle. Like I'd rather not live in a, you know, condo, apartment, whatever.
Right. Metropolis.
Right. Yeah. I want some land and live out in the suburbs a little bit more and do those sort of things. So all of that played a big part in what people are doing.
So what is this doing to housing? You know, let's talk about housing on both ends. What is it doing to the housing market in these cities that are being left? But then what is it doing to cities like ours and Austin, Texas, by the way, which is
I think Austin was number one on that list.
Right, for people coming in.
Yep. And Denver was number two.
What is happening there in terms of the market?
Yeah. So nationwide, and I can't speak to this for certain on cities like New York and San Francisco, but I bet even there they still have a bit of a housing shortage because it's just a nationwide problem that is not going away anytime soon. Do they have less of one than the inbound cities? I would think that they probably do.
Well, we know in ours.
Right. We know for our market, and I'm sure Austin and Denver and those other cities are the same way. We don't have, you know, we didn't have enough housing before the pandemic.
Right.
It's now getting far worse
because
so many people moving here constantly. So we had a net positive of, I believe, 7,000 people since the, of the, just the migration pattern of the mobile workers. But if you,
look, that was the number. Yeah.
So if you look at Wake County is where Raleigh's located. For those of you not in North Carolina or in the Triangle, Wake County is the large county that makes up Raleigh and what we tend to call the Triangle. Now, Durham and Chapel Hill are their own counties. But in Wake County, the report that came out was that we need 125 to 175,000 more housing units over the next 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
Right? So that's 12,500 per year. I just saw a report on the local news a couple of weeks ago forecasting just in the next year we need 17,000, which is higher than that estimate from Wake County.
Right.
And we aren't going to have that. That's what's causing this housing shortage. So even with interest rates being high and suppressing demand, it has not suppressed demand as much as inventory is suppressed. And so you still have a seller's market with more demand than supply. So we're still getting bidding wars all the time. Prices are still moving up. They're not moving up quite at the rate they accelerated greatly during 2020, 2021, and the first half of 2022. Mm-hmm. 2022 took a bit of a nosedive, and then all of a sudden you start 2023, and we just take off.
It wasn't much of a nosedive.
It was there was a little bit of a drop off and then a big plateau for several months.
Right.
And then we hit 2023 and pretty much went right back to, a little bit slower, but still strong appreciation.
And this is why, though, I think that people who are on the fence, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm thinking that if people are on the fence, they need to get in.
Right. So the thing is, and we discussed this in a previous podcast, and it's a good point, that there are plenty of people feel trapped in their mortgage at the moment, and that's not going to change. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are like 7%, we'll call it. It might be a little less, a little more, whatever, but we'll call it 7%. A majority of Americans are now in mortgages that are closer to 3%.
Right.
So those folks, that's a big part of why we have such low inventory, they're not going to move for that big a change. So the people that are buying are first-time home buyers. They're not locked into a previous mortgage. Cash buyers who could care less. And the people that are moving here, people that basically have a lifestyle change that forces it, right? So divorce, death, moving.
Right.
Those are the buyers that are out there. But the supply is so low that it's still making prices move up. So that trend is going to continue. And then eventually we do foresee interest rates starting to come down at some point. And what that will do is free up some inventory, but it's also going to spike the demand. So I don't see, in everything I read, this isn't just my opinion, it's the opinion of all these economists and real estate experts, that we will just see constant appreciation, that we're going to be in a short supply market for a very long time.
Right.
I had mentioned, again, on a previous podcast, that the national forecast is builders would have to triple production over the next 4 to 5 years to meet the total demand for housing, and that's just not going to happen.
It's not possible.
Right. So in the housing market, if you are thinking, I'm going to wait to get a better interest rate, if you're already in a home and don't have to move, I get it. I would still look at your situation, and if you really wanted the move up in price of house and all those things, do crunch some numbers. Maybe, hey, that's the house that I want still going to be 6% more next year or 10% more or whatever it is. Granted, the house you're going to sell is also going to appreciate. But if you're a move-up buyer, if you're going from $500,000 house to $1 million house, the $1 million house going up 6% is costing you a lot more than the 6% right. you're gaining on the house you're selling. Or 10%, you know, in this area could be as much as 10%. Depends on location, depends on a lot of various things.
Right.
But certainly the people who, you know, you're a first-time home buyer, rents are going up just as much.
Right.
You know, we've talked about this in the past.
Right.
So while you're waiting for that better interest rate, you're just paying rent, nothing going towards any kind of principal. And the house you want to buy a year from now goes up 6%, you didn't save yourself any money. And you can refinance that mortgage at some point. But even if you never refinance that mortgage, the additional cost you're paying right now at this current interest rate versus if it came down a point or even 2 points is probably not offsetting what you're going to be spending waiting because I do think from talking to some people, they expect prices have to start coming down. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that indicates that when you just look at the statistics of how much of a housing shortage we have and how that trend's going to continue.
The law of supply and demand is the law of supply and demand.
Yep. Exactly.
And it doesn't, and it's not altering anytime soon because we just have such an influx of people coming in. And if you're one of those people who, and we talked about some of the cities, Austin's one, Raleigh's one, Boston, I think was one, I'm trying to think. Denver
was a big one.
Was a big one that people were moving into, right? And then there was a fifth one I'm trying to think right now off the top of my head, and I can't remember it now. But those cities, we're seeing an influx of people coming into. There's also some opportunities there.
I think there's big opportunities there for real estate investment. So if you're looking at rentals, so what we've been talking about, with that shortage of housing, there is going to be a continued need for rentals because the buyers that are either being priced out of the market, you know, people are constantly losing out multiple offer situations, and as the prices are moving up, people get priced out of even being able to buy a home at the moment. So rent rates are doing well and increasing at a good rate, and then the number of renters is a huge number. And there was one of the statistics I read was nationwide, the number of new construction rentals. So think apartment buildings, things like that.
Your multifamily.
Rental. They set a record just like a year ago with I want to say it was like 60,000 new permits or something like that. So the demand for rentals is there in these big inbound migration states are a great place to get into that for your investment portfolio. You can buy a house in an area that is going to see strong appreciation because of all the things we're talking about. People are moving to those areas for all the reasons you mentioned earlier that Raleigh checks all the boxes, right? Raleigh has a great education system. We've got three top universities right here in the area. It's got a great culture as far as just – outdoor activities, restaurants, you know, you name it, theater, right. All those things. The Triangle really has a lot to offer there as to a lot of these other inbound migration places. So it's going to be an attractive destination for people to live, which is going to continue to have, you're going to get good appreciation on the home. But also what's drawing people to these areas is the housing is considered affordable. So you can buy an investment property for a good value and get a good return on that investment in right. your cap rate. And your cap rate is basically the income from rent versus the acquisition cost of the property. And so we're in an area where we're forecasting the need for more and more housing, which means more and more rentals, which will make rent rates continue to increase, which helps with your cap rate and with mm-hmm. your profit from owning that house. So as an investment, you're making not only the income from the rent, which is offsetting your mortgage
right,
payment.
Right, right, right.
But then that's the other thing, right, is the more affordable the house is, the better the rental payment. So that's, I mean, the mortgage payment. So that's why these destinations make great investment opportunities.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if people get creative here, you know, maybe you get a group of people to come in, buy some multifamily properties,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a golden opportunity
right.
for you to, because cap rates are not going down.
Right.
Cap rates, I think you said it to me before the show, the cap rates have been able to keep up.
The cap rates have stayed the same, even though the interest rates went up.
Right.
So this is a nationwide figure, but it's 5.3%. It's maintained that level even as interest rates increased. So,
and that's a nationwide average.
That's a nationwide number.
And I think
I would imagine
we're a little better here.
I don't know the average cap rate at the moment in the Triangle, but we're probably even better.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with it too is when you look at opportunity, the one thing that's evident why this is a good investment is we're seeing more and more large institutional investors starting to invest in single family residential. Mm. But they still only make up 2% of all single family residential rental around the country versus 50% of the multifamily. So it is less competitive for you as an individual to get into. You're not competing as much with these giant, you will, but like here in the Triangle, you're competing with those institutional investors quite a bit because we've got them, they've recognized our market as one of the best.
Right.
And so as someone who sells a lot of real estate here, I've sold a lot of properties to those investors that are turning them into rental properties. But still, you don't get nearly as much competition from them
right.
in single family as you would in multifamily,
right.
which helps you acquire the property.
Right. Well, there just seems like to be a lot of opportunity here. And I mean, I'm even thinking about the commercial spaces that are available that can be converted over and they could be doing, I know that's happening
right.
as well, the empty, commercial spaces. Because, you know, we have vacancies here
right.
that are being converted over to other things.
And you'll see more and more of that, particularly in areas like ours, but all around the country, that's going to make sense. We're talking about this huge housing shortage, and you could take an old office building and convert it into residential, maybe some mixed use. So whoever owns that office building, they've got all these vacancies. They're not right. making income. They're going to have to either sell that property to somebody that's going to repurpose it, or they will repurpose it. And so from there, yeah, like here in the Triangle, I was talking to you earlier, we've got something right up the road that would make an ideal mixed right. use. It's in a great location. There's a Whole Foods right next door. I can
right.
so see there's a Target across the street.
Right.
There's Starbucks right up the street.
Right.
Like, it just makes perfect sense that whole building could become mixed use. You could
right.
easily see restaurants and shops in the bottom
right.
level and a bunch of condos or apartments up above it. And I think you'll see more and more of that over the next 10 years nationwide, because we've got to address the housing shortage.
Right.
There's not enough houses. It's just,
we've done our time.
Good.
It goes really quick, doesn't it?
It does go very
quick. It goes really, really fast.
Because I was wondering, like, I wonder how much.
Yeah, no, we've done our time. You've been great, as always. This is a great topic. People want more information about this topic or buying and selling real estate here in the Triangle. How can they get a hold of you?
You can reach me. My phone number is 919-740-9795. Or you can email me, steve@lindacraft, and craft is craft.com.
Perfect. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, thanks for watching the show and listening to the show wherever you're at, and for watching us on DBTV all over the world and coming to America soon. Listen, you had a lot of choices. You chose us. I really do appreciate it. If you're listening to us as a podcast, wherever your favorite podcast player is, give us a like, subscribe, tell your friends, write us a positive review, and we really do appreciate it. Folks, as I say to you all over the world, you know what that is. Ciao, everybody.
Yeah, I want everything. It ain't worth living if you're dreaming small.